Let's pray. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh. Fall fresh on us today. Give us ears to hear what your Spirit is saying. Block out all distractions. We want to see you, Jesus. We want to know you. We want to be known by you. We want to give our hearts to you today in all fullness. And so I ask, Lord God, that you would just have your way with us today. Capture our hearts anew. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, I'm happy to be here. It's been a long time since I've had the opportunity to come and to speak at Hillview. It's actually been a year since I've spoken at all. And so if I'm a little rusty, please forgive me. I'm excited to be with you today, and it's good to be home here in the house of the Lord with you all. I want to talk to you this morning about one thing I ask, and New Year's is upon us. You can go to the next slide. New Year's is upon us, and when we go into New Year's, everybody makes resolutions. The top resolutions that are made are in health and exercise, in weight. As you can tell, I didn't do that one this year. It's in finance. It's in personal growth. We all make resolutions at this time of the year. We think about this time of the year, and we think about the things that we need to change in our lives. It's a good time to start thinking about, what do I need to do differently? Where do I need to go? What do I need to give myself to this year? And my wife, every year at this time of the year, she picks a theme verse for herself. Maybe you're like that too. She spends some time and she seeks the Lord and she says, God, what do you want me to focus on this year? And she chooses a verse to just meditate on throughout the year, to allow her to allow God to guide her throughout the year to make some changes. And oftentimes, resolutions are they can be trite, they can be all over the place. And I guess what I want to do this year is I want to challenge us. I want to challenge us in this area to consider that the new year doesn't require many resolutions. It just requires one decision. One decision on your part. One decision on my part. And we get that decision from the Word of God, from the life of David. And so I want to read to you this morning from David's life in Psalm 27, verses 1 to 4. And I just want you to listen to this. And you can read along if you want, but just listen to the Word of God. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked advance against me to devour me, it is my enemies and my foes who will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then, I will be confident. One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. One thing I ask of the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. You know, I love this passage. This passage has brought me through a lot of hard times in my life. As I've meditated on it, when things have come against me and life has seemed to have fallen apart and difficulties have happened, I've gone to this passage and I've cried out to God, just as David has cried out to God here. This is a Psalm of David that reflects an intense period of struggle and difficulty in David's life. Perhaps this was the time when Saul was chasing David and David was running away and he was in fear. And what David does in this psalm is he expresses his trust in God as his light, as his salvation, as his stronghold. Despite the activities, despite the circumstances of life that he finds himself in these moments. And he shifts from this sense of fear to fervent desire for God's presence. In the midst of his fear, he seeks out God and he says, God, I need you. And this is who you are. You are my stronghold. You are my salvation. You are the one who overcomes. And in so doing, he changes from himself that feeling of fear to feelings of confidence, to feelings of, despite the circumstances around him, he can face it. Do you need that today? I need that. We all need that. And in this, he gives us the one thing, the one decision that we need to make this year. You know, as I was thinking about the one thing, what popped into my mind was the movie City Slickers. Okay, and City Slickers is a movie about, it's a movie with Billy Crystal and Jack Palance, and Jack Palance's character is this old cowboy named Curly, and Billy Crystal is Mitch, this guy in the city who's going out to do this cattle drive and all of this, and they have an interesting little conversation at one point, and Curly says to Mitch, he says, do you know what the secret of life is? And he goes, this. And Mitch goes, your finger? He says, no, one thing. You stick to that and the rest of life doesn't mean blankety blank. And Mitch says, but what's the one thing? And Curly looks at him and says, well, that's what you need to find out. And for everybody, it's different. That's the implication that Curly's giving. Well, Curly ain't David. David, the man after God's own heart, gives us the one thing from Scripture. He gives it to us. You don't have to go around trying to find out who you are or figure out what it is. There is no, you need to figure it out. No, God says it in his word. You want to know what the one thing is? One thing I ask of the Lord. This only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon his beauty and to seek him in his holy temple. You know, Pastor Norm talked about his vision for the church last week, and he talked about prayer. And this really aligns with what Pastor Norm was speaking about last week. Because prayer isn't just a thing where we go and we sit and we ask for things. It's not a list of things that we write off and read off and say, hey, God, give me this, give me this, help me with this. He's not some person in the sky that just takes your list and you go and you ask him for things and he fills that list. No, prayer is much more than that. And for a lot of people I find with Christians, they don't really enjoy the prayer meetings. They don't really enjoy praying, period. Right? It's dry. You want to know why your prayer life is dry? Because you are doing all the talking. That's why your prayer life is dry. Your prayer life is dry because prayer isn't about asking for things. Prayer is about abiding with Christ, spending time with him, getting to know him, listening to him, and listening to his voice. The Bible says that he is the good shepherd, and the sheep understand and hear the shepherd's voice. Let me ask you this. Do you hear the shepherd's voice? Do you know what Jesus sounds like? He wants you to know. He wants you to listen to him. Sometimes the best thing that we can do is be quiet. But we fill our lives with so much distraction. And that's where David points us to this. David points us to having a singular focus. One decision. And that's to spend time with Jesus, to abide in him. You know, we have many distractions that take us from here to there and everywhere in our lives. And even sometimes I think when we go to prayer, we're distracted in prayer too. You know? They say that if everything's a priority, nothing is a priority. I have ADHD. Oh, squirrel. You know? I have a hard time staying on task at times. And I get that. But I also feed my distraction. And my wife will attest to that. She hates it. She hates it when I feed my distraction with this. I feed my distraction with this. A lot. Scrolling. Doom scrolling. Doing the thing. Right? This thing can take me away from my relationships. It can take me away from my relationship with God. It can fill my mind with things that aren't of him. Not necessarily bad things, just things. It's a distraction, and it can be a distraction. You know, this last couple months, we went to Disneyland with our grandson. And it was a fascinating experience for me because I always wanted to take Nathan to Disneyland. I wanted him to experience the wonder and the glory of being in Disneyland and having that experience. And what was fascinating to my wife and I was this, is that we're in Disneyland, the happiest place in the world, and kids are on their iPhones. You know, at one point in time, some kid was having an issue, and she was screaming and yelling and upset about stuff. And what does mom do? Mom goes and gets her the thing that she's wanting. My wife was horrified. She's like, "What are you doing? Don't do that. Don't reward that behavior." The wonder of Disney, and you've missed the point. We can sit and be with Jesus even here and miss the point. David's priority is God's presence. One thing that I ask is for God's presence. I want to dwell with him. I want to abide with him. I want to know him and be known by him. And if you're going to ask for anything this year, ask for this. Ask for more of his presence in your life. That's what I want to challenge us to do today. I want to challenge us to ask for more of his presence. And how do we do that? Well, the practice of his presence is found in this scripture. It's to dwell, to gaze, to seek. It's about time and attention and affection. Dwelling is more than just time. Can somebody bring me water? Dwelling is more than just time. This word conveys, thank you, there's my water. This word conveys intimacy with God. Dwelling isn't just about spending time with God. It's about a quality of relationship with God. It's about intimacy. Let me say this. If you spent, or if once a week was all the time that you spent with your spouse, would you have an intimate relationship with them? No, you wouldn't. If coming to church on Sunday is the only relationship that you have with God, no wonder your relationship with God is not that intimate. Our relationship with God needs to be every single day, 24/7. We need to worship him and know him and sit with him and abide with him each and every day. And it reminds me of the verse in Matthew that says, "Where your heart is, your treasure is also." That biblical quote means that what you value the most, what you treasure the most, will naturally affect and it'll direct your focus, your emotions, and your actions, your heart. And it urges people to prioritize eternal values over temporary worldly gains. The practice of his presence is an intimate dwelling. Let me say this. Perhaps your heart needs to be rekindled today with passion for God. Perhaps that little flame needs to be blown and become bigger than what it once was. I believe that because it happens in relationships all the time. We come into relationship, our relationship starts to grow cold, and then we need to kind of come back to it and rework on it. And our relationship with God is the same way. practice of his presence is an intimate dwelling. The practice of his presence is also where we gaze, where we put our attention, where we place our attention, what guides us. Where do you place your attention every day? What has your attention every day? Ashamedly, my wife would say, for me, it's TV. For me, it's my phone. I spend a lot of time on my phone. I spend a lot of time watching TV, filling myself with that. Where do you gaze? So, as I said, this thing isn't bad. It's actually good, too. Okay? Can be used for good, can be used for bad. Right? Can be a distraction, can be not so good. So one of the ways that I use this for good is I have an app. There's an app for that. And it's called the Bible Gateway app. Maybe you've seen it before. Maybe you've got it. But did you know that you have a lot of tools in this app to help you dwell with Christ, to abide with him? And one of the things that I really like is this, is that when I go to read God's scripture, I can also... I can read and I can listen at the same time. And for me, as somebody who has struggled over years to read God's scripture, right, and not find it boring, this revolutionized things for me. Listening and reading at the same time brought things to life for me in a way that I hadn't experienced before. Right? I want to encourage you, use this for good. There's also another app that I have, and it's called Lectio 365. And it's an app for just learning and doing devotions every day and spending time with him. And devotions aren't something that we do just to check off. I did it. Did my devotions today. Now I'm good. No. Your devotions aren't to just check something off or to say, I read this. Your devotions are to sit with Jesus and to hear from him and to listen to him and to spend time in his presence, soaking in the Lord. That's what devotions are for. And if devotions devolve into this thing where I just got to get it done, then you're missing the point. And you need to change things up. And one of the ways that I've changed things up over the years is this. You know where I speak with God and I listen to God the most now? Walking my dog. You know? I take my dog to Twilliger Park, and I walk along, and I cry out to God in those times. Sometimes I'll listen to a song, or I'll meditate on a scripture, but I'll call out to him, and then I'll walk, and I'll just listen for that still, small voice that wants me to hear him and to speak to him and to listen to him and allow him to take my heart and to soften it and to change it and to make it new again. That's what God wants to do. So where are you dwelling? Where are you gazing? Where are you putting your time? And lastly, the practice of his presence involves seeking or pursuing. You know, I've a friend that's a Calvinist, and he thinks God does everything. And yeah, God does do everything. But one of the things that he did, you know, I said to him, I said, Rob, you know, you're out of a job. Yeah. So what are you going to do for a job? And in his Calvinist mindset, he goes, well, the Lord will provide. I said, oh, yeah, God will provide. I said, so what are you doing? What do you mean? I said, well, are you applying for jobs? Are you looking online? Are you sending out a resume? Are you what are you doing? He said, no, I'm not doing any of that. God will provide. I said, Rob, like, you think God's just miraculously going to send a job to you without you doing anything? Yeah. He said, well, I don't think it necessarily works that way. You know, yes, can God do that? Sure, he certainly can. It can just come right out of the blue. But you got to cooperate with him. You got to do your thing too. You got to put out that, you know, put your resume together and put that thing out there. And God will open doors that you can walk through. But you got to do your thing as well. And this is what I see in this part of the passage, where the practice of his presence involves seeking or pursuing. The Hebrew word translated here as seek is from the root bakash, and it means active and intentional and often fervent pursuit. It goes beyond a casual wish and implies a lifelong commitment to know God and to experience his presence. We all have a part to play. God plays his part, and here he's saying, you need to play yours as well. You need to pursue me. You need to seek. You know, the Bible says that David was a man after God's own heart. And it's not because he was without sin. It's not because he was perfect. It's because in his imperfection, in his sin, he said, God, I'm a screw up, and I screwed up right now, and I need to come back to you. I need to give my life to you again. Over and over and over again. And I need to say I'm sorry for what I've done. And maybe that's you today. Maybe your heart has grown so cold that what you need to do is you need to say, God, you see my heart. You see how distant I am from you. You see that I don't care. You see how passionless I am for you, Lord. God, renew a right spirit within me. Renew my heart again. Do what you can only do. God, you see my doubt. You see the way that I doubt about you and your goodness or your faithfulness. You see, I doubt even that you're there. God, come. Speak to me again. Renew a right spirit within me. I want to give myself to you again today. We all have a part to play. Well, what is the result of all of this? What is the result of making a decision to abide with Christ today? Well, first off, in verse 1, we have confidence. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Who? The Lord is my stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? I'm going through cancer. Do I need to fear that? My kids are walking their own way. Do I need to fear that? My finances are in disarray. Do I need to fear that? People are saying awful things about me, lies, and hurting me. Do I need to fear that? He had confidence. That's what David had in the midst of his struggles. He wasn't absent of struggles. He had the struggles. He was experiencing awful things. And yet in the midst of those struggles, he had confidence. When I was going through cancer a few years ago, I experienced that same sort of thing. But I also experienced fear in the midst of that. Things trying to knock me off base. And yet at the same point in time, I remember very fervently that God was there, that I was going to be okay. That's right, Waki. Of whom shall I fear? We need to sit in that. We need to sit in his presence when we're going through things that are unimaginable. If you want to know the way through your difficulty, sit in his presence. Take it to him. Speak with him. Say, God, help me. God, I want to hear from you right now. And then be quiet and allow him to speak. The second result of abiding in his presence is stability. He keeps me safe. He hides me. He restores my soul. Yea, though I go through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. That's what he does. And that's what you can experience today. And lastly, we worship him. We worship him. When you're in the midst of difficulties, we worship. I will sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music. This is a psalm of worship. And so when you're going through difficulties and you're going through life or when you're going through something that is just so unimaginable and you're scared, go to worship. Worship him. Tell him who he is. Speak back those words. Speak it out. Don't just think it. Speak it. Say it. That's why, for me, listening to the Word of God is more important than just simply reading it. I need to listen. I need to hear. I need to speak. I need to be engaged with it. We need to be engaged with God. This is a psalm of worship. So my question to you today is this. And it's the question that I have for all of us. What's your decision? What's your decision today? Are you going to follow him? Are you going to abide with him? Are you going to allow him to speak to you? Are you going to try and say, Lord, I want to hear what your Spirit is saying to me today. I want to know you more. God, I know that my heart has been far from you. I know that my heart has been dull. My worship has been dull. It feels like the flame of you is going out in my life. God, I need that to change. God, I need that to change. And maybe part of that is saying, you know what? like David, I sinned. I've walked away. I've done my own thing. And maybe you've never given your life to Christ in the first place. Maybe you've never given your heart to Him. And that's where you need to start. Maybe that's the decision that you need to make today. To say yes to Jesus. Maybe the Spirit of God has been speaking to you for weeks and months now, trying to get your attention. And you just simply need to say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Your Spirit, your servant is listening, and I want to follow you. You know, giving your life to Christ involves just simply acknowledging that you're a sinner. Acknowledging that you don't have it all together. Acknowledging that you need God. And I think that's a good place for us to all start today. I've sinned. I've walked away from you. I've done my own thing. I need to acknowledge that. I need to confess that. And I need to say, I'm sorry, Lord. And then I need to recognize what Jesus did on the cross was for me. That He went to the cross and He died on the cross for me so that I might have a relationship with God. And that I believe that He is my Savior, that He is Lord. And then I need to ask for forgiveness. And I need to invite Him in and I need to say, yes, Lord, I want to follow You. I want to know You. And then I need to go from here and I need to commit my life to Him. And I need to say that. I need to speak that out and I need to stand up. And maybe the standing up of that is baptism. Maybe it's coming before everybody and saying, yes, I'm yours, Jesus. Maybe that's what God's calling you to today. Maybe that's the decision, part of that decision of abiding with Him. I need to give my life to You, Jesus. What is God saying to you today? What's the decision that you need to make today? I'm going to pray for us this morning. As I do, I'm going to invite the worship team to come. Maybe today, you've never given your life to Christ. And if that's you and you want to say, yes, Jesus, I want to follow You. I want to give my life to You today. I'm going to pray a little prayer right here at the beginning that you can pray as well, quietly. And you can give your life to Christ. Let's pray. Father God, thank You for today. Thank You for being here and for loving us and for knowing us so completely. You've seen the good, the bad, and the ugly in each one of us. You know our lives. And I believe, Lord, that You've got something to say to each one of us today about our relationship with You and about fanning that into flame and about coming closer to You and knowing You and being known by You. And I pray today for those that are here that don't know You. And if that's you, I just ask that you pray along with me. Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. Thank You for dying for my sins. Please forgive me and come into my life and be my Lord. Be my Savior. I give You my heart. And I ask You to help me follow You for all the days of my life. And for those of us today who love You and are in relationship with You, but our hearts have been far, forgive us, Lord. Fan into flame again. Give us ears to hear what Your Spirit is saying. Help us to know You. Help us to love You. Help us to follow after You with all of our hearts, all of our minds, all of our souls, and all of our strength. In Jesus' name, amen.